Don't see anybody. Mr. Love.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. You may approach.
Thank you, Your Honor. May I please report George Love on behalf of the Appalachian State of Nebraska. I don't think I have a whole lot more to add than what I stated in brief. I think Mr. Harrison's successive motion for post-conviction relief is time-barred and also fails to state a claim simply because his claim is that State v. Trice announcing the rule of a step in jury instruction in murder cases vis-a-vis manslaughter is retroactive, and the decision itself and two Smith cases cited in brief specifically state that it is not retroactive, having not stated a constitutional claim. I think his basically it's a 12b6 issue. He doesn't state a claim under post-conviction relief. And it's time barred as well. As far as his petition for quorum nobis, generously speaking, if one considers the Trice decision a fact of some kind, it would have not prevented judgment in his case. So for those reasons, I believe the district court was correct when it denied the second motion for post-conviction relief as being time-barred and failing to state a claim. Unless the court has any other questions.
I'm just curious, do you consider a writ of error quorum nobis a constitutional challenge?
I do not, Your Honor. It's a quorum nobis basically is saying, had we known this fact,
it wouldn't be a constitutional issue.
Correct.
Make it.
It would not.
Oh, it is.
No. Quorum nobis is not a constitutional issue. Basically, quorum nobis is for the purpose of disclosing what was previously unknown fact, which would have prevented judgment.
A fact that would make it voidable. A fact, had it been known, would make the conviction voidable.
Correct.
Did the district court's order specifically address the allegations that the claims about the commitment order?
I don't recall that, Your Honor. Was there a question on the commitment order? I'm sorry, I don't know.
All right, thank you.
My understanding that, excuse me, the post-conviction motion and the quorum nobis was all that the district court addressed, at least.
That issue would probably be the defendant's burden to produce the record showing that existence of no commitment order, wouldn't it?
I'm briefly scanning the order, and I do not see in this case that some challenge to the commitment. I'm going to say it's not there either.
I think the argument was that the record didn't include a commitment order.
Well, at that time, if I recall correctly, commitment orders weren't necessary, nor did they have to be signed by the court. That's statutory change occurred a few years ago. So it made any difference at all. In other words, it doesn't state a claim, and it doesn't state a post-conviction claim because it's not a constitutional issue. It should be a statutory one. With that, we would ask you for the district court. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next case of the day is State versus Courtney W. Starks. Mr. Starks, I believe, is pro se also. Anybody here today on behalf of Mr. Starks?